Today on The Dark Side of a man sentenced to 3 life terms for killing his family. A Georgia man allegedly wrapped grandma in plastic bags and locked her in the freezer while she was still alive. An Ohio man killed roommate, cut off thumb to use his phone, then dumped the body in a river. Those stories and more to pick you up and make you feel good today on The Dark Side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of...
That, indeed, it is the phone number. Actually, there is no phone number. I'm used to saying that on the other show. Welcome to the program. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. We greatly appreciate that. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts if you got a moment. We would certainly be grateful for that. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Not too much. But I did find a really creepy guy I wanted to talk about this week.
Really? You found a creepy guy to talk about?
I know. Imagine in the world today when everything's just sunshine and unicorn and rainbows. It's like once in a while you hear a creepy ass story.
I don't know what the hell's going on with putting. I mean, today's stories for the most part are not like super well-known stories by any means. But it's just like one thing after another of people doing absolutely horrific things to their friends and family, and the mugshots, they look like normal people. They used to be like a look to a lot of them. Now it's like, oh, he was in line at the Pomida today.
You know that it's a website, but I also think it's an app. It's like Nextdoor or Neighborhood. Or, yeah. I can't remember
there's
what
it is. A couple
is.
Of them like that, yeah.
But everybody's, you know, you're on one, like there's one here. And so somebody posted on it today, they said, I'm not sure what to do. There's a man on the corner of whatever intersection. He's on all fours. I can't tell if he needs help. All it makes me think of is zombies, and I don't know who to call for this. And I'm like, well, you know, call 911, and maybe they could go help him. But I'm like, he's on the corner, like on all fours, and he's just wandering around.
Yep.
And I get it. It's like you want to help, but then how do you help?
You're putting yourself in danger because that person is likely a danger to themselves and others at that moment in time if that's what they're doing in public. There was one.
My guess is he was high. That's my guess.
What the hell are you high on that makes you do that? I guess that's not weed. that's something else.
I just think it's funny, not funny, but like people will go right to that site and go, what do I do?
Yeah.
And ask the
site. Yeah. Like, well, that's 911. I remember there was one over there. I lived on the west side of Wichita when I was there. And every Friday night, there was a character that would come out dressed in a cape. And he would run along. There's an intersection there where there's like a Dillon's grocery store and a McDonald's. And there's a couple other things like right there. It's a fairly busy intersection. And he would just like go the four-way lights, and it's like a like each lane is like 4 lanes. It's super busy, but he would like run out in traffic and it was people were like, what the hell? And he just go in circles through the 4 corners of the street,
like just in a cape. Did he have a mask on too?
He was dressed like a superhero type thing, and I think he was obviously there's something not right with this. But it was just disturbing because I remember calling 911 once because, I mean, I'd be scared if I was walking and this guy's coming running at me or something.
Right.
Or other kids playing. Like, what the hell is up with this guy? I mean, I don't know if he's going to run into traffic at any moment to kill himself either. So I called it in. And then on my way back, which was like an hour later, still, he's there playing in traffic. It's like,
it's dangerous.
It is.
Because he could get hurt. And, you know, if he runs out in front of you, like, it's hardly like you want to hit the guy. But then
we used to frown on behavior that was deemed crazy when it is crazy. When you're putting yourself or others at risk, that's it's just crazy. What the hell are you doing? But now I don't know. Are we just like, well, it's choice. Don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't know.
And I do think like that person, like if he's crawling around on all fours,
they need help.
Like something's going on.
Yeah.
And it's either a mental health issue or a drug issue. And I just feel bad. But
yeah.
So check out this one.
Okay.
So Fox News host Jesse Waters made a bizarre on-air admission saying that he deflated the car tires of a 25-year-old colleague in order to be in a position where he could offer her a ride home.
Oh, my God.
He was 39 at the time, already married, also said that the woman in question was Emma DiGiovanni.
Okay.
DiGiovina? DiGiovina?
I don't know.
Who ultimately became his second wife. So he said, when I was trying to get Emma to date me, first thing I did was let the air out of her tires, he said with a smile. She couldn't go anywhere. She needed a lift. I said, hey, you need a lift? She got right into the car, he bragged. After his co-host expressed surprise, Waters claimed that his wife was unaware of his antics to this day. He then appeared to justify the trick by stating the pair are now married. It's a happy ending, he said. Another of his colleagues then asked if he had taken the air out of other women's cars' tires in order to get them into his car.
Yeah.
Which he implied that he well may have. Is that the first time you did it, or did you use that before? Janine Pirro inquired. It works like a charm, he bragged.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
And to just be that out of touch of reality to think that that's like, okay, just to be like, ah, oh, what a silly thing I did. You know, you got to do what you got to do to get the girls.
Ha, ha, ha. So I did that to her and she got in my car and look, I divorced my wife and married her. What a happy ending.
What a cool thing. What a love story that is. Like, I'm going to try and cheat on my wife with this 25-year-old and I'm going to take the air out of her car. And basically make her, you know, a hostage to me for a short period of time, and I'll go get her help.
Right? Isn't that creepy?
Yes, it's insane. It's utterly insane. It's one thing if the story was her.
Somebody on social media said he had to let the air out of her tires because she didn't have a drink he could slip something into.
Exactly.
That's what it feels like.
It does. It's like if this is what you need to do to make conversation with the opposite sex or whoever you're attracted to, you need to re-examine some things because these are not ways of doing it.
And why would you ever, like, that's so creepy.
To say it
like,
on
even
air.
The fact that you would think about it, like, yeah. If I let the air out of her tires, then she's going to need a ride. And then I can walk out right then and be like, oh, do you need a ride? And she'll be like, yeah, that'd be great.
How disconnected.
And then I'll give her a ride. And then he must have given a ride to her and then put the moves on her or something. Because it wasn't just like, oh, that was great.
Yeah.
Thanks for the ride.
The next day, I locked her in her office and said we forgot the keys. And then we got the elevators to shut down and everything was dark. It's
like, but I married her. All I did was divorce my wife, got married to her. Oh, and his first, I just looked up and saw a picture of a woman with kids. That was his first wife, who was the mother to his two daughters. So he had a family at home. He didn't just get divorced. He had two daughters at home.
What a stellar individual.
He's the creepiest guy of the week.
Wow. Well, that's great. Thanks for sharing that one.
Thanks.
A little more insight into the folks over there at the Fox News Channel.
Let me say this. Yeah. I don't give a shit. If he's on MSNBC it doesn't matter that he's on Fox News. That's just a creepy move.
Yeah.
Like, that's creepy. That's like stalkery, creepy guy stuff.
It's just amazing that he's that, even if he did that many years ago, and if somehow he thought it was like socially okay, which that one really would never have been socially okay. Even if the fact that he thinks that it's okay to like say that out loud and not be like, shit, that was pretty, you know, you keep that between you and your wife.
Happy ending.
Yeah. You're going to go say that on the air. Wow. That's great. I can't wait for the other women to come out now and share stories about him because, you know, that's next.
Oh, my God. There has to be a slew of them.
It'll be great. This will work out well. Man sentenced to 3 life terms for killing a family. A man convicted of killing the Galetta family and 3 more than 6 years ago, will spend the rest of his life behind bars. Pierre Haubisch was sentenced by the Santa Barbara judge Friday to three consecutive life terms without the possibility of parole, according to Santa Barbara County District Attorney's Office. Another sentence of 75 years to life was added for the enhancement of using a gun to inflict death. Now, 32-year-old was arrested in March of 2016, one day after Dr. Henry Hahn, his wife, Jenny, and their 5-year-old daughter, Emily, were found shot to death in their home. Investigators reportedly found their bodies wrapped in plastic and duct tape in the garage. Hahn was well known to the community for operating the Santa Barbara Herb Clinic on State Street. Haubisch was found guilty by Santa Barbara County judge last November of 3 counts of first-degree murder, and 2 special circumstances were found true against him, that the murders were committed for financial gain and that multiple victims were involved. Haubisch waived his right to a jury trial in exchange for the district attorney's office taking the death penalty off the table. Haubisch represented himself during Friday's sentencing, which took place after the judge denied a motion for a new trial. Some friends and business associates of Hahn spoke during Friday's hearing. According to Santa Barbara County District Attorney Deputy District Attorney Benjamin Landing, who says Haubisch also spoke, still claiming that he wasn't responsible for the murders while denying any involvement, saying Hahn was a good person. Haubisch is expected to serve out a sentence in a high-security state prison due to the extent of his crimes. So it's amazing that still there were some folks standing up for him, I guess.
How do you stand up for that guy?
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back.
Kill some people, travel back again.
Killed your family too.
You're a pal and not such a good dad.
Yeah.
Bom, bom.
And if you threw a party and killed everyone you knew, it would be the biggest YouTube celebration for me, because I'd film it and broadcast it live. Thank you for being a friend. There you go.
I mean, like, how could... I don't get that. Like, there's deal breakers in friendships and relationships. Like, mm-hmm. Say my husband, I found out, deflated all the tires in my car.
Yeah, yeah.
And then laughed about it. But I mean, like, when it comes to friends, like, at some point, you got to go, like, he's a bad guy.
That's something I think we do a lot of. I think we hold on to friends a lot longer than we should. I'm not guilty of this, quite honestly. I've always been very quick to delete friends or not keep them. So that's why I have a very small circle of friends. And it's hard to become one, too. It's not there's a waiting list by any means. It's just I know
I've been on the waiting list for 10 years now, and
you finally you know, you're getting close, you know,
getting there.
We're gonna have some qualification tests later in the month, and we'll see how it goes.
It's like the president's physical fitness test, or is
it exactly like that? You have to run the mile and do the eraser jog, where you run to like 50 feet, pick up an eraser, come back, and then get the other one and come back and sprint. I was actually good at that one. I was not good at anything else, anything to do with physical fitness, but I could run pretty good in the eraser relay race.
I'll give it my best shot.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Just saying. I might have finished in the top 10 in one gym class in 1997. So,
but what do you, I mean, how would you, like, even if, you know, the guy's convicted of it, he's guilty of a crime, a really serious crime, mm-hmm. not even murder. Like, say your friend robbed a bank.
You're like, done.
Isn't that a deal breaker in a friendship? It's like, dude, I didn't know, like, you could rob banks at gunpoint, you know?
Yeah.
I liked shooting pool with you, but now I just can't be comfortable with you anymore.
No.
You know, I just think, and I've realized the older you get, the easier it is to just go, yeah, fuck that.
Exactly.
Don't need that shit.
I completely agree. And I feel like sometimes I'm too quick at it, but it's like, no, life's too short. This is too much of a like emotional drain on me with some people. I just refuse to be friends with negative people now. Like anything where it's negative, I'm fucking out. And it's been nice. I really enjoy that life, but I'm more restrictive. And when I see it, and sometimes it develops slowly in people as you get to know them, and you start to see, oh, they're really, really freaking negative, and they're pulling me down. Then it's like, I'm out, because these people just have chaos that follows them around. when you have that sort of vibration going on of negativity. It's not
this person times 20. Like, he's like the worst person, like, to the 20th degree.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Here's another fine individual. Georgia man allegedly wrapped grandma in plastic bags and locked her in the freezer while still alive. Now, this gentleman, when you look at his mugshot, looks kind of like probably a band member of maybe a 90s kind of, you know, pop grunge-ish band that's really not super hardcore, but we'd be playing on any top 40 radio station. So it looks like a fairly normal guy. This is out of Floyd County, Georgia. The 29-year-old man is accused of killing his grandmother last year when he put her in plastic bags and placed her in the freezer while she was still alive.
Oh, that makes me sick.
This is True Crime Daily that has the story. According to the statement, on April 14th, Floyd County Police received a call about a possible missing 82-year-old woman, Doris Cumming. Her family reportedly believed she had moved out of state but had no communication with her since the supposed relocation. Cumming's grandson, Robert Tinchner III, lived with her and reportedly should have moved with her at the end of 2021. During their investigation, police reportedly learned Cumming became injured at her home, although Tinchner allegedly did not seek medical help for her. According to Floyd County Police, Cummings was injured but still alive when Tinchner allegedly dragged her through their residence and placed her in a large freezer, breaking several of her bones as he dragged her through the residence. They reportedly put her in the freezer for the purpose of concealing Mrs. Cummings' death. Floyd County Police say Tinchner told investigators his grandmother's back broke as he forced her into the freezer while still alive. Tinchner allegedly moved the freezer to a storage unit, which is where police discovered it the night of April 14th. This is reportedly not Tinchner's first run-in with the law. In July of 2018, he allegedly reached out to someone via Facebook message and asked if they would put his wife 6 feet deep. Floyd police say he failed to show up for his court date and a warrant went out for his arrest. Tinchner was booked into the Floyd County Jail on charges of felony malice murder, concealing the death of another, aggravated battery, and felony murder. And failure to appear with warrants on two felony terroristic threats, including alleged attempt hit on his then wife. But somehow, this guy's out until he puts grandma and they finally catch him in the freezer. But all the other shit, it's like, no, you're good. You can go out and live your life. That's totally cool.
Like, what the hell? How? I don't know. Like, is he on drugs or something? Or there's mental, like, I get that anybody who commits a horrific crime, they're not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're mentally ill. Something snapped. I get all that. But this is so beyond horrific how you could do that to your grandmother.
Yeah.
While she's alive. I can't. Oh, that one really bothers me.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's really, and then like her poor family, like they're like, well, grandma moved out of town, but we can't seem to get a hold of her. We can't find her anywhere. So then you find out that's what happened to her.
I wonder what the next barbecue is going to be like at that house when the family gets together. Yeah. Hey, how about so-and-so?
It's like, I never want to see any of my family again.
That's
just really sad. It's just something's not right. And the fact that he was living with her and could still, I don't get it.
Now,
how bad do you have to snap to do that?
There's nothing here that makes any of that right whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
But you do have to wonder, what is the dynamic of this family? Why would someone do that? I mean, why would someone be driven to do that? Now, there should be no reason why anyone should ever truly be driven to do that. But obviously, some people are driven to do that. So what were those circumstances that I'd be curious about? And again, it doesn't make it right by any means, but it's context for the situation. Like, was this some sort of abusive thing back and forth, or was there, I mean, I don't know. Or is this guy just fucking nuts?
I'm going to guess fucking nuts, but, and it could have been over money. Yeah. Like she, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, especially if they're using drugs, you know, they just, it's this constant, I need. And they take everything from people until people are like, I can't give you anymore.
Yeah.
And then that's when they snap. How dare you do that to me? Could have been something like that.
Sure.
Or it just could have been, he's just an evil person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It takes someone special to do that. Ohio man killed his roommate, and then he wanted to get on his phone, so cut off his thumb, dumped the body in Randolph County, Indiana. This is a story from Fox 59 in Randolph County, Indiana. Investigators there found what's believed to be the remains of a missing man after his body was dumped there following a homicide in Ohio. Police from Ohio contacted the Randolph County Sheriff's Office early Friday morning about the case. The Troy Police Department had been investigating the disappearance of 25-year-old Easton Ho from Troy, Ohio. The man's roommate told police they received strange text messages from him around 2:45 a.m. on Thursday, April 14th. He failed to show up to work in his Miamisburg that morning. Officers spent much of Thursday looking for Ho, alerting other law enforcement agencies to watch for him in his vehicle. Around 6:30 p.m., Troy police learned his vehicle was located near Kettering, along with evidence that led officers to believe he'd been a victim of foul play. Detectives began to interview the roommates, one of them 25-year-old Sean Higgins, admitted he killed Ho and provided information to investigators. He was taken to the Miami County Jail on charges of aggravated murder, abuse of a corpse, tampering with evidence, theft, and receiving stolen property. Police said that Higgins even cut off the victim's thumb in order to continue using Ho's cell phone. While police recovered evidence in the case, they'd been unable to find Ho's body. They charged, or that changed Friday when deputies in Randolph County found evidence near a bridge on Greenville Creek close to the Indiana-Ohio state line. A conservation officer from the Department of Natural Resources and Indiana State Police Crime Scene Tech were called to assist. Search teams found additional evidence in the water and discovered a body about 12:15 p.m. Friday. The remains were taken to the Randolph County Coroner's Office to confirm the victim's identity. Other evidence was found at the scene, and it was turned over to the Ohio investigators. So,
Jesus.
What's the motive, I guess, is the question.
And where's his phone? Like, everybody's got a damn phone.
I want to play Angry Birds on your phone. No. I'm going to cut off your thumb and kill you. What the fuck? And then boom, it's done. And he's got Angry Birds. And he's playing the levels that you spent all that time and sweat to get to because he's using your thumb. Ain't that some bullshit?
So did he cut off the thumb just so he could get, like, was it, is that how he opened his phone, maybe?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because on some of the older iPhone models, it's a fingerprint ID. It's not the retina.
Wow.
So, I think I've heard of that more and more in crimes where people are missing thumbs. And it's because of that reason. Think of all.
I've heard of it, like, with fingers. So then they can't get their fingerprints. So it's harder for them to identify.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mess with their teeth and their fingerprints. But, like, you know, that guy's got parents. You know, at one point he was, you know, a little baby. I'm wondering how his upbringing was, because it just makes you wonder if he had a very bad childhood himself. But, you know, you just think, you know, it's a little kid who doesn't grow up to murder somebody and cut off his thumb and use his phone, like, no big deal.
Well, there was a popular song in the 80s that I think did influence a lot of children to do horrible things. It was, I don't want to grow up. I want to cut my roommate's thumb off so I can use his phone. There's a million roommates I can cut their thumbs off, and I can use their phones. From Billy to Kate to the guy in the duffel bag to grandma in the freezer, you see? It was for Toys R Us, and then they changed it to, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid.
So the first version.
First version was pretty brutal. They only ran it on 5 episodes of Muppet Babies.
That's good.
And then, but
4 or 5.
Those 4 or 5 we created
about a couple of them today.
Created this shit show. So, yeah. But
the shit show is right.
Here's a So, you know, here's what one it could, someone's going to go and deal with some sort of horrific crime. And then they came back and said, and my inspiration was Saturday morning cartoons on ABC. Because in the 80s, there was this bumper that they would run, and it would be, after these messages, we'll be right back. It was all claymation. And one of the things was, they all bowed down and their heads rolled off their head, their bodies, and they landed on somebody else's body. So if you're like, I decapitated those people just like the thing on Saturday morning cartoons told me to do. That'd be a fun one.
Did it really do that?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was cartoony. It was cartoony and silly. It wasn't anything like grotesque. It was just, you know, it was claymation.
But the wrong kid sees it and then look at what happened.
Today it would be, yeah, blacklisted. And can you believe ABC's decapitating characters on Saturday morning cartoons? And it's like, that's not at all what it was. But, you know, Queen's mother found dead inside of a duffel bag. How do you fit somebody in a duffel bag? I guess there are big duffel bags, aren't there?
Yeah, but if you break their legs.
Queen's mother's body found discovered inside a body duffel bag, or bloody duffel bag, rather, Saturday. I guess if you go into the Dick's Sporting Goods and ask for the body duffel bag, they may be a little suspicious. Someone called police around 8:11 a.m. about a suspicious bag with blood on it at the corner of Metropolitan Avenue and Jackie Robinson Parkway, the New York police said. Police opened the bag, found the body of 51-year-old Ursula Gale stuffed inside. A trail of blood from where the duffel bag was found and led police to her home on Juneau Street in nearby Forest Hills, police said. Gale was married, a married mother of two teenage boys. Police sources said the father and older son were out of town at the time of her death, sources said. On Friday night, Gale told her younger son she was going out to watch a show, but she really went on a date with another man. Police sources said at some point, the man killed Gale in the basement of her home. Put her in the duffel bag, dumped the body in a half mile away. Police sources said, oh, shit. No one has been arrested in connection with her death. The medical examiner will determine Gale's exact cause of death. Neighbors in Forest Hills said the family had lived in the neighborhood for close to 10 years, and there was nothing unusual about them until now. What a tragedy for everybody involved, said neighbor John Blackson. I think everybody is trying to piece together what happened. How did this happen? Why did this happen? This is unimaginable by anyone's standards. Police detectives are going door to door interviewing neighbors about what they possibly heard or saw late Friday night or early Saturday morning. This is crazy, said neighbor Dolores Diaz. I hope they find whoever did it. So do you think there's some connection here of one knowing that the other one's cheating and taking vengeance? Or do you think it was just like a Tinder date gone horribly, horribly wrong?
Well, the one thing that seems weird is if it was a Tinder date or however she might have met him, that she went out to meet friends but ends up in her own house being murdered. That's weird.
Well, unless she invited him over, or I don't know.
Wasn't her son at home when she left?
I believe everybody was gone. The father and the kids were gone, and then she snuck out on a date. And because it looks like there's like Ring video doorbell camera footage of somebody.
I was going to say, there'd have to be between your phone, your laptop, your Ring doorbell. Yeah. Like, it just seems, or just any like video cameras on random streets, like people across the street. It just seems like you could track down.
Yeah.
Because if you meet somebody, you know, you didn't correspond through letters that you in turn burned. You know, there's evidence on your phone somewhere that you were talking with somebody.
Yeah.
Now, could that be like he's on Facebook and that's not his real name? I mean, that could certainly happen. But it's just weird.
Can you imagine like getting back like from a trip and you find out that your wife was cheating on you, but the guy she went on the date with killed her? It's like, what?
Yeah, that would be horrible.
That would be just an insane flood of emotions of betrayal to sadness to, I think that would be just a total mind fuck.
Well, it's like, what? My wife's dead? Well, apparently she hooked up with some guy and he killed her.
Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
And she's got teenage kids.
Yeah.
That's a lot to process.
Yeah, I can't. And it's not like they're super young and you'd be like, oh, shut your ears. And they don't have to like learn about it till later.
But there's part of this story that just doesn't add up to me, because one of the kids or somebody knew she was going out, mm-hmm. right? So supposedly she said, I'm going out with friends. And there would have to be, it just doesn't make sense.
There'll be more to the story, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's kind of a new one.
About that just doesn't make
Yeah.
It doesn't add up right. Like, they're not home.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to tell them where she's going. And then if she says, I'm going out to meet up with someone, how did this mystery person, how would anybody even know there's a mystery person?
I'm assuming like looking at her phone records or something.
Yeah. So there has to be some evidence there that they're not sharing.
I think we'll find out more soon, and it'll end up being one of those follow this one stories.
It's going to be on Dateline.
Yeah, guaranteed.
That's a Dateline story.
Get ready, Keith. It's going to be a good one. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Dark Side. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the show. New ones every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts as well. And check us out on Patreon or go to darksidepod.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of...